Some years ago, the Charlotte Observer ran a letter to the editor. Rather caustic letter whose theme was this: Christians must be the stupidest people on earth. Every Sunday they go to something called Sunday school, but they never graduate. Some of them have been going to Sunday school for 50 years or more, but they never graduate. Either they must have the worst teachers in the world, or they're the densest people on the world. Christians must be the stupidest people on earth. Well, if in fact the purpose of Sunday school or the purpose of gathering in worship in general, to sing together, to pray together, to fellowship together, if all of those things were solely meant to instill in us a certain amount of information or inculcate in us a certain aptitude and skill, that criticism would be accurate. But in fact, there is another purpose to our worship, another purpose to our gathering together in as the family of God, that transcends merely gaining information, that transcends merely creating a certain job set or skill. In one of my former churches, we didn't have a bylaws or constitution, but we had a covenant that we took seriously, and the opening line of that covenant was, "We will be faithful to the public worship of God, gathering with the family of the church to celebrate His glory and remember His grace." It is true, a doctor can graduate from med school, a lawyer from law school, a minister from seminary, an engineer from a vocational school like the one on North Avenue in Atlanta. But we do not graduate from church because we have a higher purpose. I thought about writing a letter back to the editor saying, "We don't graduate from church for the same reason we don't graduate from the need to go to the grocery store. We don't graduate from the need to go fill up our cars with gas. We need food to eat. We need drink to live. We need gas to run our automobiles. We need the family of God to soak up the vital energy and nourishment necessary to live fruitfully and lovingly. We must be faithful to the public worship of God, gathering with the family of the church to celebrate His glory and remember His grace." Many years ago, a friend of mine who was my predecessor for 30 years in Charlotte, I invited him to come on the occasion of his 50th year in ministry to preach what became his last sermon. And because it was his last sermon, he spoke what was on his heart and he said, "I know there are people today who think, I don't need the church to be a Christian. I can be a Christian all on my own." He said, "I have a word for that: baloney." You may create a faith, but it is not the Christian faith. The Christian faith is personal, but it is not private. The Christian faith requires a community, is birthed in a community, is lived in a community, is expressed in community. And then to make his point, he shared what was his favorite story. A friend of his was passing through a small Arkansas town, picked up the small town newspaper, which had a society page, and described in some detail a local garden club meeting, what the host was wearing, what they served, who all was there. And then it said the highlight of the meeting was when Miss Bessie Smith played Beethoven's Fifth Symphony on her kazoo. My friend Dr. Broach said, "I don't know what Miss Bessie played, but I know it wasn't the Fifth Symphony of Beethoven." You can't play the Fifth Symphony on a kazoo. The Fifth Symphony requires an orchestra. It's like saying you sang the Hallelujah chorus in a solo. So too, the church requires an orchestra to be the family of God. The basic metaphor for who we are is the family of God. And that's not because of biology, it's not because of social status, it's not because of educational background, financial merit. We are the family of God because we are on pilgrimage together. A spiritual pilgrimage in behalf of the person of Christ. Jesus knew that. Jesus is speaking to a group of people in a small house that's so crowded his family can't get in to see him, his mother and brothers, and someone passes word, your mom and your brothers are here to see you. And he looks out upon those gathered around him and he says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear my word and do it. You are my family. You are my family if you hear my word and do it. He didn't just mean that in a hyperbolic way. Think about it. With whom did he share a common purse? His disciples. With whom did he walk and travel? Fellow believers. When he shared his last Passover meal, who was gathered around him? His fellow believers. When he was resurrected from the dead, with whom did he celebrate? His fellow believers. When he looks out on that group and says, you are my brothers and sisters, if you hear my word and do it, he's saying the family of God is a family that's connected by the miracle, the shared pilgrimage of faith. Christianity never existed as an idealistic philosophy. Christianity, from its inception, existed as a community that understood itself, conceived itself as a family, and sought to integrate more people into that family. Several years ago, I had two encounters on successive days that brought this point home to me in a powerful way. I was visiting with an aging war veteran near the end of his life, and I knew he was a Marine, and I said, where did you serve? In the Pacific, he said, with the 4th Wing Division. And then he kind of chuckled. He said, you know, when I first was in the Marines, people would say, well, who are you with? And I'd say 1st Platoon, somebody said 2nd Platoon, 3rd Platoon, whatever. But our division saw the hottest action in the Pacific. And by the time we reached Iwo Jima, we had suffered so much, given so much, lost so much, gained so much, that all of those divisions had disappeared. We were just the 4th Wing Division. We were just family with a camaraderie I can't explain. I thought that's what church is meant to be. We may have different perspectives. We may come from different backgrounds, different predilections, different penchants. But when we live together, rejoice together, cry together, when we celebrate births and baptisms, when we mourn losses of parents and grandparents, when we acknowledge anniversaries and graduations, when we plumb the depths of our sadness and our joys together, all division cease. We just become one. Family. I think of my first church, little church in Kentucky that started out as six distinct families. But over time, they had so intermarried that you couldn't start an argument at church because it was going to be a family feud. They had started out as distinct families. But over time, biologically and theologically, they had just become the family of God. That's what we're meant to be. When we look at each other on our pilgrimages, in our highs and we lows, we look at an old man and say, that's my father in Christ. We look at a child, that's my child in Christ. We are family together. The next day after that conversation with that old Marine, I was privileged to be invited by a friend and a church member to be at the side with her as her mother died. Her mother was a wonderful, saintly woman, and she was expected to expire immediately, but she found a reserve of energy and even convinced the nurse to take the mask off so she could talk. And then she said she called each child of hers, each grandchild to her bedside, and to say to them, I love you. I love you. And allowed them to say goodbye to her. And then as her strength was failing in the quiet of that room, she said in a voice so clear we could all understand it, y'all gonna be all right? And the grandson next to her said, Grandma, we're gonna be okay. We have our faith and the strength of the family. We have our faith and the strength of the family of God. That doesn't just happen. It requires investment. It requires interconnectedness. It requires commitment. It requires a merging of all we are, all of our resources, all of our time and our energy. Family doesn't just happen. It requires intense commitment. That's true of the family of God known as Vineville Baptist. It requires that we commit to it, body, soul, and spirit. We invest our resources, we invest our time, we invest our talent together to be the family of God. Every Sunday, I issue an invitation to splice your life into the living vine of this community. To splice your life into the living vine of faith that's here in this place and grow with us. Add your energy, add your gifts to our vitality and vibrancy and make us stronger. And if you will do that, then you will feel the strength of the family in the very marrow of your bones. A few years ago, I was privileged enough to baptize twin boys, college kids by this time, at the Green Slough at the Nantahala, where many of us have enjoyed some wonderful swims on our camping trips. And as one of those boys walked out to me to be baptized, I couldn't help but think of the day when he was 6 years old and was attacked by a dog, so that his ear was barely hanging on by just a thin thread of flesh. And he heard the doctor say, we're going to have to put him to sleep. And being 6 years old, he thought that meant they were going to do to him what they do to dogs when they put them to sleep. And he said to his mama, call Dr. Krimmer so he can come pray with me and be with me. Once we realized his misconception, we were able to say, it's going to be okay. But it occurred to me
when a six-year-old child, in his most extreme moment of need, senses the resource, the call out for someone from the church to come be with him. That's someone who feels the strength of the family of God in the marrow of his bones. Jesus looks out on us, says, "You are my brothers. You are my sisters. You are my family if you hear my word and do it." You can't graduate from the need to gather together. You can't graduate from the need to be church together. And as we pool our lives, as we pool our resources, as we pool our strength, as we invest ourselves, splicing our lives closer together, we become truly the family of God. And we gain the strength to be sustained amidst every storm. That is our promise and the foundation of our existence, if only we'll claim it. May we pray together. Lord, may we feel the strength of your family coursing through us. May we find our identity in our kinship to each other, giving of our lives as we are on pilgrimage together to realize your kingdom. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen.